Everybody, welcome to another episode of Yeah Yucca, where I cover culture, conspiracy, carnivore, and Christ consciousness. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode. Today, I want to talk about fake food. I don't know if people realize how much fake food is out there in the world nowadays, particularly like 3D printed foods and lab made foods. And I think it's just so crazy because this stuff has actually been around for a while now. I actually first heard about 3D printed foods from one of my chefs in culinary school. And that was way back in 2011. And people were just like starting to get it. I'm sure it had been going on before then also. But people were experimenting with it. And, you know, just I think just the idea of like, the 3D printing idea is kind of cool, like making things and inanimate objects. But edible foods being printed out is just kind of really too foreign for me. I'm not really that big on 3D printed foods. And I think it's so crazy because it's been going on for like kind of a long time now, and it still hasn't, like, it's just now, I think, starting to get more into the news and get more coverage and things like that. But it's been going on for a long time, and I think it's just really interesting because, you know, when people try to play God and recreate things on our own instead of just using the things that God already gave us, it just goes to show how well it doesn't work. Like, they've been trying to do it for years now, and it's still not like as popularized and all over the world like they thought it was going to be. So I actually have today's show is going to be kind of a little bit more like a news style. I don't really like doing this kind of stuff that often this way, but I just came across a few different videos and topics in regards to this fake food stuff. And so I wanted to share a couple of videos as well as a video that I made almost exactly three years ago, actually, when I did the Liberty broadcast. And it's about lab-made whey, and it's apparently vegan, but it's also has actual whey in it. And it was a product that I came across in a store, and I did watch it too to make sure that it wasn't too cringy to share with you guys. So it's only slightly embarrassing, not that bad, but it's just me, little baby Yucca, making a news report. I'm very energized about this thing because it was like an actual product that I saw in the store. And so I do want to share that video with y'all. It's an 8-minute video. I'm pretty sure the quality is like the worst quality because I probably recorded it on my phone and edited the video on my phone. So it's going to be really, really blurry. But you can tell I look like a little baby. And the quality is going to be bad. It's an 8-minute video. I'm talking about this lab-made whey product that I just stumbled upon. And basically everything that I said in that video, I stand by still for the most part, maybe like 99% of it. And then I'm going to share that video with you guys, and then I'll go over it with y'all afterwards. So let me pull up this embarrassing video. And thanks again, you guys, for joining me. Some of y'all watching may have actually seen this video a few years ago if y'all have been following me for that long.
Through the
So
coupons.
here is this one,
Hey,
when I
everybody.
was in the Liberty broadcast.
This coupon came up of this product I've never seen before. It was called Brave Robot. It was an ice cream. I love ice cream, so I had to look into it. And I was looking at the label. It said animal-free dairy, which literally made no sense. And so I had to start digging into this product because it seemed like it's on the vegan agenda, but it's trying to merge the dairy and non-dairy. So it was just really weird. So I had to start looking into it. I went to their website. They make it look very delicious. It looks just like regular ice cream, as you can see in these pictures. It looks like regular ice cream. It looks delicious. So I go over to the ingredients section. I look at the ingredients. I always look at the vanilla flavored ones first so I can get an idea of the base ingredients list that they use. And I see that there is whey in the ice cream. There is no way that you can get whey without getting it from an animal source. And they're touting that it's animal free. So I'm getting ready to send them an email, and then I scroll over, I see the FAQ, so I'm hoping I can find the answer to my questions in the FAQ. And lo and behold, here they are. You guys, check this out. This is on the shelves in the store at Sprouts. I'm not sure if you can get it somewhere else, but you can find this in Sprouts. And some of the FAQs here is, what is animal-free dairy? Animal-free dairy describes a protein in our product. The non-animal whey protein is identical to what's in cow's milk, but made without using a single animal in the process. Animal-free dairy is vegan, as are all the other ingredients we use in our products. So the wording of this made me think that it's made in a lab. So I continue to look through the questions. How is your product made? Science! We use Perfect Day non-animal whey protein to make Brave Robot ice cream. Non-animal whey protein is the same whey you'd find in cow's milk, except zero cows are involved. How? The bovine whey protein gene, stay with us, was digitalized in an open source database, like an ebook. Microflora are given to the blueprint of the gene sequence and then fermented in a tank along with some plant sugars. It's just like brewing beer. The result? A non-animal whey protein. We then use it to make Brave Robot animal-free dairy ice cream that's just as creamy and dreamy as the real thing, and uses less water and energy than dairy production. It's planet positive ice cream. So, this is ice cream made from whey that was made in a lab. And this is in the stores. This is on the shelves. You can buy scientifically made whey ice cream. And ironically, you know, a lot of these people that are in the vegan movement and the plant-based movement think that using plant-based foods and consuming more vegan foods is actually regenerative to the world, but it's actually not. They say here in the FAQs that it takes so much water to raise a cow or produce milk, a gallon of milk, when in actuality, it's not even true. So regenerative farming, which involves humanely raising cattle or whatever other animals you'd like to raise, is actually a lot better for the earth. It's a net carbon neutral. So it means that it's actually, it actually sequesters carbon. So in reality, raising cattle on grass, giving them land, giving them a happy life is actually better for the planet than monocropping a whole field of vegetables, a whole field of corn, a whole field of soy, a whole field of wheat. And another thing that vegans don't realize is that monocropping actually kills hundreds, if not thousands, of critters, including rabbits, squirrels, snakes, birds is another big one. And these vegans don't realize how much death that they're causing when they're consuming their soy latte or their vegan burrito or what have you. So coming across this product really, really opened my eyes to how much they are pushing this vegan propaganda. So you guys need to realize that plant-based is actually not better for the planet. It's actually worse, especially if you're not sourcing locally and you're just getting whatever you can out in restaurants or the grocery store. All the GMO crops are actually taking nutrients and vitamins and minerals out of the soy when they continuously harvest the same vegetation over and over again. And we need to be supporting local. We need to go to our farmers market. We need to get organic. We need to grow our own vegetables. If you have land, get some cattle, get some chickens. It's definitely a way better way to go. And I just wanted to bring this product to light to you all because it's coming, you guys, and we need to push back on these products. We need to vote with our dollars, and this is not okay. Next thing you know, we're going to be getting 3D printed meat, which they're already pushing. We're going to be getting 3D printed everything, and they're going to be saying that it's better for the planet because you don't have to use the planet. You just take some cells here and some cells over here, and you mash them up together, and you add some sugars, and you ferment it, and then voila, you have animal-free whey dairy ice cream. What the heck? That doesn't even make sense. Even in the FAQ, in the FAQs here, let me read this over real quick. In the FAQ, it says, but wait, it contains milk proteins. How is that considered vegan? Brave Robot is vegan and contains milk proteins. It's a paradox. They even say it in their freaking FAQs that it's a paradox. It doesn't even make any sense. So that alone should definitely steer you away from this product and any other product claiming to be a health food, because God already gave us everything we need. God already gave us beef, he gave us meat, he gave us vegetables. Everything we need is here on this earth, and we do not need to be messing with the natural way of life. So eat your beef, eat your milk, eat your vegetables, support local, and do not buy this garbage.
Yes, you guys. Eat your milk, okay? Technically, you can eat milk if you like ferment it, turn it into cheese or yogurt. So I didn't really misspeak there, but yeah. So That, I mean, everything there I basically agree with, and you know, it's kind of goes over a lot of what I wanted to talk about today. The only thing that I don't even necessarily with disagree with something that I said. If you want to farm and you know grow your own crops and things like that, I definitely think you should do that. I used to really want to do that. I definitely don't want to do that right now, maybe in the future. But I just have too many things that I want to focus on. And right now, I be recently became a landowner, and just maintaining the land is like so much work trying to clean it up and keep the grass cut. And I'm trying to add fencing and just make it look a lot nicer. So just having land has been a lot of work, and I already knew, you know, farming is going to be a lot of work too, but my desires and goals have changed a little bit, and I'll definitely want that in the future, but right now it's just not something that is kind of feasible with the life that I have going on. So, but if you guys definitely, I definitely still think, you know, supporting your local farmers, growing your own food, or you know, knowing where your food comes from is just such a big deal, you know. And trying or allowing yourself to trust people who make lab-made food and 3D printed food is just like doesn't really make much sense to me. I have this video here that I'm gonna pull up in a few minutes, but it's that KFC actually joined with one of the lab-made food companies a few years ago. And this video is asking people what they think about it, if they would eat it. And I'm just like so surprised at how many people are okay with eating lab-made food because it tastes the same or whatever their reasoning is. And lab-made food, and I don't know if I had this video up either, but I was watching another video and this lady was saying that the lab-made food is not really nutritious either. It's nutritionally void. And she was like, and that's one thing that bothers me because, like, if we're remaking it, why not make it healthier and like add more nutrients? And it's like, yeah, why not? Like, if it's supposedly supposed to be better for everybody and the planet, then why aren't you imprinting nutrients into it? Why aren't you adding that stuff to it that would actually make it a lot better? For us to consume that versus the fake stuff or the wannabe stuff, whatever you want to call it. And one thing too that I think is really crazy, it's just that the I think it might be one of the videos, but the way that they make these fake meats is crazy. The lab-made meats, they say that they don't harm any of the animals when they use it, but they use actual animal cells. So how are they going to get those animal cells? Well, they don't tell you exactly where they come from, but they are stem cells. And if you're into the kind of stuff that I'm into, then you should know where a majority of things called stem cells come from, and it is not from a typically not from a living source of that animal and or human. And so it is typically comes from a fetus, which there I said it, it's gross, but hey, that's where they get those cells from. How else are they going to get animal cells without harming the animal? You know, they can't just scrape some skin off the animal. They can't just cut a leg off of a cow and use the cells from that without harming it. Like, that's literally harming the animal. So they can't do it that way. So how else are they going to do it? That's how they're going to get the stem cells, is through the unborn babies. And it is a very scary fact. But that is what it is, and that's how they do it. And I have this video. I am going to show you guys this one here. This I'm just going to show a few a minute of this one here. Let's see. And I have this KFC one. Also, let me figure out how to do this because I'm still learning how to do this whole live stream stuff. And I know I should be getting like some equipment and probably like a proper microphone and things like that. But so far, it's been working all right like this. And the internet's working fine out here where I live too. So I'm really excited about that. I never really wanted to give my money to Elon Musk, but unfortunately, I just had to because I do a lot of work from home and then I do my live stream, and I didn't have a place to do my live stream from. And the place that I really wanted to do it from was my home. And so I broke down and got some Starlink out here. And I really hate that I love it so much, but it has worked really well. So if you live in an area where there is zero internet options like me, definitely look into Starlink. It's so expensive. But if you work from home and you need internet access at home, that is not just from your phone, which is how I lived for like the last 2 years out here, living in the woods. Definitely check out Elon Musk's Starlink. But yeah, anyways, this video here, I'm gonna play the KFC video, and this is crazy. They're asking people what they think about the lab-made chicken and if they would eat it. Okay. Let's see here.
Welcome back. Would you eat your favorite takeaway if it was made in a laboratory? The thought of 3D printed nuggets might not sound appetizing, but scientists say you won't be able to taste the difference.
There's only one Kentucky Fried Chicken, always cooked fresh with Colonel Sanders' original secret recipe of 11 different herbs and spices.
Until now. For in this Russian lab, your next tasty KFC meal is being prepared. Just finishing off some seafood for another customer first. This one is a squid. Yes, KFC has partnered with Russian scientists to develop lab-made chicken nuggets.
Shut up and take my money.
Hot on the heels of fake meat, now comes a plethora of pantry palate.
Yummy.
Broccoli. Chicken, salmon, kind of just runs the gamut. We were experimenting with a lot of new ingredients as well.
Welcome to the future.
Your printable food comes safely packaged in cartridges.
Finger looking good.
If there's a laboratory and a kitchen, logs are clean.
Wouldn't put you off?
Yeah.
Simply take some cells from a real chicken, multiply them in the lab into a paste, and gently place that into a printer. Similar
it's that easy, guys.
Turn that paste into sheets and layer upon layer, turn those sheets into cubes. Presto, you've got chicken nuggets.
I'm gonna go get some KFC nuggets.
Stand around a KFC long enough, like I did today, and you'll learn.
Would you eat them if they were made in a lab?
Yeah.
I don't see why not, no.
People aren't put off by it.
Yeah, I would.
If they tasted the same, what's the difference?
If you wouldn't know, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Personally, I probably prefer it.
Well, Joanna, I'm guessing you've never had one of those.
No, I haven't.
Joanna McMillan is a nutritional scientist.
Why are we making food in a lab now?
Well, we have two big problems. One is environmental and sustainability kind of issues. Yeah. And the second is creating enough meat to feed the world's growing population.
Would there be...
So I want to stop it right there and just replay what she said, why they do this.
One is environmental and sustainability kind of issues. And this.
Okay. So environmental and sustainability issues. One big thing that I am a super big advocate about is being against conventional farming and commercial farming and confined animal feedlot operations. I am totally against those. I always get hated on by people in like the carnivore community when I say that grass-fed and locally sourced meat is the best choice, because if they don't want to scare people away from eating any kind of meat over like some vegetarian option or whatever. But I am not trying to scare you away from eating grocery store meat. I still would rather you get the cheap, huge 5-pound tube of ground beef for like $15 or however much it is at the grocery store over getting some like vegan patties or like some vegetables, even like fresh vegetables. I would rather you get the huge commercial, super cheap, probably fed candy wrappers beef. Yes, I would still rather you get that, because the commercial meat, the commercial beef is still going to be more nutrient dense. It's going to still be more bioavailable than absolutely anything else in the grocery store, even if it's the absolute worst garbage, totally lowest quality beef. So I just want to get that out of the way right now. People that are going to get upset about me saying that locally sourced grass-fed beef is the best. Yes, it is the best. It really is. Not everybody can have access to that, but knowing that it's the best, best thing that you can feed yourself, maybe you'll want to try to get it, get a good source for it. Or if you're able to afford it every now and then, you'll get it that way. Just kind of have it like as a supplement, maybe like once a month or once every few months or whatever you can afford. If you can ever afford it, if you know that grass-fed, grass-finished beef locally sourced is going to be better for you and the earth, and that's the lifestyle that you care to have, then, you know, help you want to make yourself choose that whenever you can. But still, I'm not trying to scare anybody away from eating commercial beef, even though I think it's absolutely horrible the way that they raise these cows in confined animal feedlots, because that is a fact, which a lot of people actually in the carnivore community say it's not really a real thing. Even we have ranchers coming out and saying that that's not a real thing. And so it can be really confusing when you see that, especially if you're like seeing a rancher that actually does this, that actually raises cattle and does feed them grain, but you know, they're giving the cows a happy life. Like, and they're trying to push back on saying that there's no such thing as confined animal feedlots. That's not true, because I have literally driven by them, and here in Texas and, you know, and other states also, driving around the country, I've literally seen them with my own eyes. So you can't tell me that it's not a thing. And I've seen the documentation and I've seen information on it out there. But, the one thing that lets me know that it's true is that I actually have seen that with my own eyes. So the reason why grass-fed, it doesn't have to be grass-finished, but grass-fed, locally sourced, happily raised, any kind of animal is going to be the optimal way for nutrient density and agriculture-wise, as far as for the earth. Because like I said in my video earlier, it does sequester carbon, which means it actually reduces the CO2. It doesn't have as big of an impact. The cow farts really are not destroying the planet. I promise you that, because I'm pretty sure vegans fart as much as cows do, and we're not doing anything to ban them, are we? So definitely, when we focus our agriculture and ranching practices to more regenerative agriculture, and if you notice, I can say that word a lot better than I could 3 years ago. But when you focus on regenerative agriculture and having happy cows and animals and trying to just produce a quality product instead of a large amount of cows for meats and stuffing them with grain to fatten them up so you can have more beef on them so you can make more money. And you know, it's all centered around money. Don't believe this lady saying that she wants to save the planet, because if she actually knew the facts, she would not be for this product. If she just understood that God already gave us all the things that we need, we just need to put some love and care into everything, literally every single thing. And then things would start to go a better way. But right now, everybody's just focusing on making money. It doesn't matter if you're going to die or get sick or have some negative side effects. As long as I make money, that's all that really matters. But how am I going to sell it? I can't tell people that I'm just in it for the money. Well, let me just lie and say it's to save the planet and to feed hungry people. Like, we have enough food to feed everybody. We really do. We have so much food waste, especially in America. It is insane. And like, even here, I live outside of Austin, but when I lived in Austin for like over 10 years, one big thing I noticed about the homeless people is that they literally would turn away food because there was such an abundance of it. In Austin, there's literally food banks all across town. Like, wherever you are, you're probably walking distance or a 5-minute drive away from a food bank. And then they also have local businesses that literally drive out to the hot spots of where the homeless people live and feed them at, you know, hot meals every single day. And, you know, so they have an abundance of food, and the homeless people would literally turn away food. Like, and even like, I would see on the ground just like a bag of organic snacks, and like, it wasn't even like, you know, cheap stuff. Like, they were like literally just leaving these brand new unwrapped expensive snacks on the floor and turn away food because there's such an excess of it. And so don't believe the lie of people saying that there's not enough food to feed the world, because there is, you know, and it's just crazy for her to even say that, because it's just not true.
Second is creating enough meat to feed the world's growing population.
Would there be?
Like I said, there is enough meat, especially with the conventional farming practices. Like, they stuff the chickens and cows with corn, so they're so fat, and the poor chickens, their legs will literally break because of how heavy their breasts are, that their legs literally break. Have you ever gotten that conventional chicken at the grocery store and a leg is literally broken? That's literally what I'm talking about. So don't, like, how else would that even happen other than that the chicken's leg broke and the machine that processed it didn't even realize that it was a broken leg. It just processed it as it normally did. And so that's how you get those broken legs in your chicken leg packages.
The nutritional value in something that's made in a lab.
Well, no, there's not. And that's what's a little frustrating for me, is why don't we think about recreating meat in the lab, but also make it healthier? And that's what's not happening.
There's no substitute for real chicken.
Adam Stratton is a proud old-fashioned butcher. You remember the ones he used to cut up, not create, meat.
There'd be a difference in texture, the taste, and, you know, like, natural. How can you go past natural products?
He won't be finger-licking, and I also suspect an old colonel might be turning in his grave.
Good chicken.
Next, they'll be telling us those yummy crabs.
So, yeah, pretty crazy stuff. I am not a fan. And I think it's so crazy that so many people are okay with consuming that stuff if it tastes the same, like... and I did notice that it was all men that they asked that to. So I'm wondering if they asked some women that, what would they say? Let me know in the comments if you guys would ever eat lab-made food or printed food and why you would do that, because I want to know. I want to know why. If you think that that's okay, please let me know why, because I'm interested. One good thing, a good news little blip about this topic, Italy has banned lab-made food recently, so that's a big plus. You can definitely eat safely in Italy knowing that you are not eating lab-made food. I'm not sure if they banned 3D printed food, so that's a whole nother thing too that you have to worry about. Like, I am so scared to eat out in public at a restaurant that I don't know the quality or source of their ingredients nowadays. It is so scary. Like, if KFC has openly been in partnership with one of these 3D printed, these fake meat foods companies, who knows how many other big chain corporations that have signed up to serve this. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if McDonald's has been doing this for a very long time. or, you know, Burger King, Dairy Queen, any of them, really, they've been, you know, they're one of the big conglomerates. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these companies ends up coming out saying that they teamed up with them a while ago and have been serving you this for years. That wouldn't be surprising to me. I did just find out that Arizona might follow suit with making the lab food banned. So that would be really good too. And also just, you know, it's so scary finding out about all this food being everywhere because you just don't know what you're getting into or what you're going to be eating. And then, you know, and if you're trying to make better decisions as far as the quality of your ingredients, you're going to have to be that person that calls into the restaurant ahead of time or asks the server at the table, like, oh, is this locally sourced? Or do you guys use lab-made foods here? Or do you guys use any produce with the appeal coating on it? You know, these are very important questions that, you know, that we are most likely going to have to ask in the near future. Like, we're already pretty much there, you know, and with the appeal coating, that one is really scary too. It's Bill Gates' new produce coating. It's for organic and conventional. So don't think that you're getting away just by buying organic at the grocery store, which organic at the grocery store, I don't really know how good that is for you because when I buy it, I know that it lasts still a really long time in my house when I buy the organic produce from the grocery store versus if I buy whatever kind of produce at the farmer's market. The farmer's market produce does not last very long if you just let it sit there versus the organic stuff you get in the grocery store. I found out years ago, probably over a decade ago, that they zap the food with radiation to help, it helps it have a longer shelf life, but guess what else it helps it do? It also helps it kill all the nutrients, not all of them, but it kills a lot of the nutrients and vitamins in it too when you zap food with radiation. And unfortunately, that's like almost all the food in the grocery store. Even meats, they even do it with meats. I recently found out that they do it to meats and I was so sad because I thought they were just doing it to the produce. And that's why the produce lasts so long. Like even the organic produce, I did a reel for an avocado to see how long an organic avocado would last without turning brown. And I had it out for like 8 hours and it barely did anything. You could like cut a tenth of an inch off the top of the skin and it was like totally fresh green underneath. And it was crazy. Like I really thought that avocados turned brown like so fast. That's why we have to add lime juice to them. But has anybody else noticed that with the avocados that they actually don't really turn brown? I feel like it actually turns brown faster when you make it into guacamole and then don't cover it and then you let it sit out like that. I feel like it turns brown faster when you make it into guac versus if you just have a fresh sliced avocado with no seed in it or anything. It is crazy. I did that not too long ago. It was like less than a year ago. But yeah, so food in the grocery store, not really the best, but you know, it's we can't all grow our food. We can't all afford stuff from the farmer's market. We can't all have cows and, you know, and so like we have to just do the best that we can. But you know, the best option is definitely to support local and, to quote my friend, an old boss, Richie from the Lone Star Farmers Market, don't buy food from strangers. So I actually worked the farmers markets for about 4 years. So I got to meet a lot of local farmers and ranchers and, producers, people making their own cool natural products. And I got to work for a lot of these people as well. And I worked with Richie. I actually was a chef of a meal prepping company. Surprise, not that's something that I have gotten in and out of over the years so many times. But we did meal prepping and we tried to do as much locally sourced as possible. And working the farmers market is definitely a really good way to get in and, you know, be able to trade with your local farmers and ranchers is a really cool plus too about getting to work at the farmers market and not having to work on a farm. And then if you do want to work on a farm, you just ask anybody that has a farm or ranch at the farmers market. If you can come up for a day and help, they will gladly take you up on it because they need all the help that they can get all the time for the rest of their life because it is just working 100% if you own a farm and ranch. And so if you definitely want to find work on a farm, just go to your local farmers market. And Austin, Texas definitely has a lot of farmers markets. I have worked at almost every single one of them. It's work to work at the farmers market also. It's not really like the easiest job setting up the tents. Rain or shine, a lot of these farmers markets are set up rain or shine for you guys. And definitely it gets crazy in the weather. I have lots of crazy stories working the farmers markets in storms, seeing tents fly, hitting people's cars, and drama, farmers market drama, and all sorts of stuff. The farmers market life is definitely different, but it is a really great way to bring the community together and make it an easy way for you to support your local community wherever you live. The Lone Star Farmers Market I was talking about earlier is a really great one. The owner there has had a lot of issues since he started his farmer's market years and years ago, and he has always had pushback from where he tries to stay. And I got to give it to him because he never gives up. He is all about supporting the community. He's helped out so many local businesses, and he's still doing this. He's still doing this. Now he has two farmers markets a week, and I haven't been to the new location, but they have one in North Austin. I believe it's next to Garbo's. I'm not really sure, but definitely check out the Lone Star Farmers Market. That one I will always love supporting. That one over all the other Austin farmers markets because the owner that runs that farmers market is the real deal. And he knows about, all this fake food stuff and he wants to support the community and if you have a business, I'm sure, especially if it's like meat products, that you want to sell out there, I can definitely hook you up there and, get you set up, but definitely check out your local farmers markets if you've never been to one. It is such a cool way. And I will say, yes, a lot of stuff is really expensive. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, it just really is. It takes a lot of work to make food from seed or from scratch or from a baby or however you're gonna make the food. It's a lot of work to make food, and it takes years of practice and learning and growing on how to produce a fine quality product. And you can't get that stuff just at the grocery store. You just can't. Some of the stuff like honey, yeah, you can get honey at the grocery store that is literally the same stuff at the farmers market. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff is really special. It's unique to the person that made it or grew it and harvested it, and then you get to just get closer to your community. You get to go visit cool ranchers, ranches and farmers, and when you build a relationship with your local ranchers and farmers, I promise you, they will hook you up, especially if you have a way to help them out as well, or if you offer to help them out with whatever they have going, they would love to help you. And it's just a really good way to have better access to better quality food, which I think is just so important with the way that all the food is growing nowadays. Like, it's just so nutritionally void. Like I was saying in my video earlier, when you grow the same crop over and over again on the same piece of land, you keep growing soybeans, you keep growing wheat, like it takes the nutrients out of the soil and it imbalances everything. Like, the same plot of dirt is not made to continuously grow the same crop over and over again because that specific crop is going to take out specific minerals and nutrients from the ground, and you have to replenish those. And if you don't, then it's just literally, then every harvest, you're going to have less nutrients in each harvest moving forward. And so that's one thing too, that's really big in the plant-based world that a lot of plant-based pushers aren't aware of. And you have to actually rotate your crops when you grow them. That way the minerals and nutrients go back into the soil, or, you know, it just balances it out with different crops. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, like, they think you can just keep growing the same thing in the same spot over and over again, but that's not really true. You're going to keep producing a weaker product if you keep doing that. And so it just goes back to, you know, just trying to want to have the best for yourself, the best for your body. Our bodies are our temple. And yes, it's also the home for the Holy Spirit. So, you know, definitely keep the home for your Holy Spirit clean and as pure as you possibly can. Obviously, we are all human. We aren't going to be able to eat perfectly every single day. And, you know, and I'm not saying that I eat perfect, because I definitely don't. Like, I wish I ate better all the time. And I still, and I eat really, really clean foods, and I try to support locally. Like, I have local ranchers that I buy in bulk from typically. And, you know, I get all the organic, grass-fed, whatever kind of stuff. That's actually like what a lot of my money goes to, because I don't want my money to be going to hospital bills in the future. I, you know, a lot of people in my family, the older generations, they're sick and having all kinds of health issues that, you know, thankfully I haven't really started feeling too much weird stuff. You know, I had that headache a little while ago. So I think that was just a mineral imbalance, looking back at my supplements and what I hadn't been taking before that happened. So I'm just gonna, you know, make sure that I take enough electrolytes and magnesium and take a little bit extra of some other stuff as well, and just make sure that I'm super saturated with minerals and vitamins and nutrients and all that good stuff to make sure that I am just staying on top of my health game. Because you know, and I'll be 35 this year, and I still feel like I'm barely aging as I get older. Because of the way I eat and, you know, focus on nutrient dense foods, focus on the grass fed ground beef. You know, that's literally a majority of the staple of my diet. I eat 90% meat every single day. Sometimes I literally just eat meat for the whole day, or just like meat and cheese and butter, and that's it. And, you know, and there's, carnivore has been around for a while now. We have like so many studies and so much information now that you literally just go look for that information. Especially if you go to carnivore.diet, there's so much free information on there that Dr. Sean Baker has put up. And a lot of my personal recipes are on there as well. And the cool thing with the carnivore recipes is that you don't have to make them like that. You can like make it as that as the base, and then you just add whatever sides or you want to it. Like, but then that helps you have a more nutrient dense meal instead of the typical American meal where you're having like 4 ounces of a teeny tiny little steak with a huge baked potato. And it's like, the proportions are kind of off a little bit that way. And so I like to recommend to people to like have a carnivore meal and then supplement, like if you want sauteed peppers and onions and mushrooms or whatever, like put that on the side, but have your main thing be the steak or the meatloaf or whatever. And so I think that's a really good way to kind of just start on having a more nutrient dense meals. Just like, don't even change the foods that you're eating, just change the amounts. And so make it a majority of meat, 80% meat, honestly, I think is a really good ratio, 80% meat, 20% whatever else you want, like a roll or potato, like pasta, if you just really have to have that stuff, like, you know, just try that ratio, because a lot of people definitely don't get enough protein for sure. You know, and so 1 gram of protein, and it's not just 1 gram of any kind of protein, it's 1 gram of complete protein per pound of body weight, if you want to maintain whatever weight that you're at. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're going to need 150 grams of protein if you want to maintain that weight. And I'll tell you, I believe 85-15 ground beef, a pound of that only has 80 grams of protein. So chicken obviously has way more protein because it doesn't, it's more lean. But 1 pound of ground beef is 80 grams of bioavailable complete protein that your body can actually absorb and use. And so 1 gram of protein that your body can actually utilize per pound. And if you want to lose weight, doing 1 gram of protein per pound of your ideal body weight. So if you weigh 150, but you want to weigh 135, I would go slowly. I would do 140, like try not to go crazy because you want to make sure that you don't really undereat. But 1 gram, so if you want to weigh 140 and you weigh 150, try to go shoot for 140. But don't up on all the like chicken because it's you don't have to eat as much. You definitely want a good balance. You want to make sure you eat enough beef because that's what's going to help you stay satiated. Chicken is not as nutrient dense as beef is, whether it's conventional or grass fed, doesn't matter. Beef is going to be more nutrient dense than basically all the other meats. I think bison is like the only red meat that is superior to beef in regards to the nutritional content of that. Let's see my notes here. I do have some good news for people that live in Colorado. Let me see if I can share the screen here again. How do you do it? I'm still learning, guys. I just did this like a minute ago. Here we go. Nope. No, I don't know how to do it. It won't let me change the screen. Oh, here we go. All right, you guys. Thanks for bearing with me again. Direct sales of raw milk to the consumer are likely coming to Colorado. So congratulations, you guys. This is very exciting because a lot of people don't realize raw milk is how we're supposed to be drinking it. And people are scared of drinking it, saying that, you can have bad bacteria and there's blood and pus in the milk and you can get diseases and stuff from the milk. And well, yeah, that's if you don't have happy cows. It goes back to the happy cow thing again. Happy cows is actually a really important thing. And if you have happy cows, you're not going to have sick cows. If you feed cows clean food, you're not going to have sick cows. If you don't pump cows up with a bunch of vaccines or steroids or unnecessary things, you're not going to have sick cows. So again, that's why the quality of the food really, really matters. If you can't afford $20 a gallon raw milk, then that's fine. Get the conventional milk in the grocery store. That's fine. Conventional milk in the grocery store is better than getting a carton of Oatly, which is full of rapeseed oil, which I truly don't know why companies put rapeseed oil on the bottle when they can just put canola oil and it doesn't sound as bad as rapeseed, but maybe they want you to know that they're raping you by feeding you highly processed seed oils. I don't really know. But definitely the regular milk better than the Oatly milk. But here with the raw milk, it looks like, I was reading through this article, it looks like it's gonna be similar to how it is in Texas and other states where you should be able to buy the milk directly from the farm, farmer's market, or a roadside stand. The dairies do have to be registered with the Department of Public Health and Environment, and they have to meet certain handling and labeling requirements. So it's not like just anybody that has cows can, serve milk from their farm. They do have to be registered and make sure that they have the proper handling requirements. You really want to make sure that the containers you use for the milk are sterilized. Unfortunately, a lot of dairies actually use bleach. So that's one thing too, that like there's like everything is so interwoven and interconnected that like just because you go to the dairy farm to get your raw milk doesn't mean that it's 100% the best raw milk that you're going to get as far as like quality from teat to bottle. You know, if you really try to avoid chlorine and bleach, you'll be surprised how much stuff actually has bleach in it. I mean, it's in the tap water for Pete's sake. So anything that gets rinsed with tap water, guess what's in there? Whatever else is in the tap water too. So bleach is kind of really hard to avoid, kind of like the microplastics kind of thing. So it's just something to be aware of, you know, not being 100% scared of it. I'm not really a big fan of it, but you know, I have to use it. I have a well, so I have it like on one of the lowest settings though, and I still filter my water on top of that. I have multiple filters, but you know, it's something that's just really hard to totally avoid. But definitely, if it's something that you really care about, ask your dairy farmer if you're getting raw milk, if they sterilize their stuff with. So this is really cool. Congrats, Colorado. I am looking forward to the day when we can buy raw milk here in the grocery store in Texas. That'll be really fun. And let's see here. There we go. So I want to thank everybody for coming on this show again. You know, it's just crazy because people want to play God. And like, I'm not going to say that I didn't play The Sims growing up, like I was God, because I did. But you know, I grew up and realized like there is only one God. He's already created all the things that we need. It's all here on planet Earth. There's some really magical stuff here on this earth that a lot of people aren't aware of that God gave us access to. And no, I'm not going to get into that. That's like a whole nother topic. But anyways, you guys, God gave us so much magical stuff here. Like we really do have access to some of the coolest stuff on earth. And, you know, and unfortunately, the evil powers that may be have hidden that information from us. And so I want to kind of start talking a little bit more about some woo-woo stuff in the near future in regards to some of these really cool magical products here on the earth. They're not really products, they're like they're like natural organic things that we can just go get it. And so I do kind of want to start talking about some of that stuff here in the near future. If you guys have any like cool things like that that you take, like there's like a secret vitamin B, I forgot what number it was, but that the government doesn't want you to know because it's like a super healing vitamin B. So there's like really cool things like that, that God has given us access to. And on top of that, like all the nutrient dense foods that he's given us, like meat is mentioned in the Bible, like over 100 times, and vegetables are hardly mentioned in the Bible in regards to eating them. And so, God wanted us to eat meat. It's a part of living on earth, and death is a part of this life. And death is just as important as life is, in my opinion, because it's part of the cycle. It's unavoidable. Yes, it is very dark. Yes, it can be very sad. And yes, it can be very hurtful, but it can also bring light to a lot of things. And it's a really good symbolism of getting an opportunity to start over again as well. But you know, one thing that I know a lot of people are scared about eating meat from is because they don't like the idea of taking life away. And I think a lot of people that are scared to harvest their own animals forget to give thanks, like genuinely give thanks to God for this food and to bless the food. And, you know, and then knowing that you gave that animal a proper life and raised it to be food just makes it a really special thing, and makes the food just more wholesome in that way as well. And just being grateful for all the things, even if it's if it doesn't seem like the best thing, you know, just being grateful is a really important a part of life, no matter what the situation is. Let's see, let me check my notes that I have here really quick, make sure I covered everything. Yeah, basically, you know, God gave us all that we need. Why do we need to try to play God? We already have free will over, we already have free will over our own lives. Like, why don't we try to get better control over that? A lot of people, like myself included, we can't even like control our own lives. And God literally gifted us with free will. Like, we don't have to play God with the world. Like, we need to play God, not really, you know, but like we need to take control of our own life and find out all the magical things that God has given us access to and see all the amazing things that we're fully capable of. Everybody has a special gift. And, you know, whatever you do with that special gift is your gift to God, because God gave that to you. You know, it's only proper for you to gift something back to him with whatever he has gifted you with. And so that's something that I'm working on. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here doing this show for you guys every single week. I love talking about all the things that I've learned about over the years, trying to grow and learn and get closer to God and just live a more holy life. And so that's why I'm here to share this stuff with you. And I want to thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode. And thanks for bearing with me while I try to figure out how to do this, the screen share, and show you all that embarrassing video of me in the beginning. But I want to also give a big shout out to my sponsor, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. They gave me a link, yekka.gold, to share with you guys. And if you use the promo code 1776, we will throw in some free constitutional silver with your order. So definitely check that out. I've been helping them out with the website and some other behind the scenes stuff. So really great company, definitely trustworthy company. And when you're working with gold and silver, it's really, really important to work with a company that you can trust, because there are a lot of other companies out there that just don't want to give you the information. They don't want to help you out. They don't want to really give you the best deal. And so when you sign up with the Wolfpack subscription, which you can do through my link at yekka.gold, it's a precious metal subscription, and you get gold and silver shipped to you every single month. And we put these little packs together. Everybody even is getting a gold back now. Even if you just have the $50 pack subscription, you'll at least get one gold back in your order, which I think they are so cool. Actually, I have one right here. Hold on. Okay, I got the gold back, you guys. I meant to show this to y'all last time. Let's see if it looks cooler outside of this sleeve. So this actually has 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold. Look how cool that is. And this is real gold, you guys. Like, it's a sheet. And this is the $1 version. We have them for different states. This one does, I don't know, it actually doesn't say the state where it's from, but this thing is so cool. Let me see if you guys can get a better view. How do I do this? Anyways, they all have different designs. These, they sell them for like $6 or so online. So this is what was included in my last pack, and I want to get some more. They are so cool. So there's a few states in the US where it's actually legal to pay with gold and silver. And so that I think is really, really cool. And I really hope to see that blow up in the future across the states. So stacking up on the gold backs or just any kind of gold and silver is really important for when the dollar crashes. And it's just really good to diversify your portfolio and, you know, have different kinds of savings. And so gold and silver is something that's always going to have value. So definitely check out my link, yekka.gold. If you guys want to support the show, it'll really mean a lot to me if you support me through yekka.gold. And I also have some other links down below with some really cool products that I use on a day-to-day basis. And it really supports me when you are able to use my links. And I really appreciate it, you guys, coming on here and joining me for another episode. I will see y'all next week. Thanks again.